Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, Marks and Reese, we are back as we obviously take your reaction, and people trying to get home right now or just listening to us, there is a lot of activity along the Vine Street Expressway. They brought in one of the buses to detain a bunch of people, or I guess to transport them down to the roundhouse. And we have it up on our screens here. I mean, that's got to be 50 people that are handcuffed. I don't know if they probably had the zip lines or something, but they were blocking the Vine Street Expressway. So traffic is not moving in either direction.
Man.
If you're on the Schuylkill Expressway, it looks like that's going pretty smooth right now because no one can actually get on the highway. It is jammed here at 24th and Market where people try to get on the Schuylkill and then really in every direction. So we'll keep you updated on everything. A citywide curfew for the third straight night starts at 6 p.m. and it goes until 6 a.m. on Tuesday. There is still some looting that's going on even during daylight hours.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh,
there's
see,
still pockets
I didn't know
of
that.
It.
Oh, yeah. Man.
So hopefully, hopefully tonight is a better night. And I know that SEPTA had suspended all their bus and subway trolley service until further notice, at least in Center City. So they'll get you around Center City. But as far as getting into the city, they're not even trying right now, and for good reason. Let's go to E. E is a sergeant in the Philadelphia Police Department. E, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, man?
All right, what's going on?
How you doing, E?
Hey, hold on. Hey, I...
Yes, sir.
Hey, we actually met a couple times before. I'm a friend of... from D. Underwood from Michigan State.
Yes, yes.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Yes, I'm doing good, man. How you doing, E?
Ah.
How's Demetrius doing?
He's hanging in there, man. He's hanging in there.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, brother. Thank you, man. Yeah. You ever run into him, man? It's been a while since I've talked to Demetrius, man. Just tell him I said hello.
Yeah, matter of fact, I'll reach out to him sometime this week when things slow down a little bit.
Okay, right? Yep.
All right.
What's
so,
up, brother?
I don't know where to begin, but first of all, let you know I've been in the police department for 20 plus years. I'm black, African American, so, and I've been on both sides of the coin, so I understand. Nobody, and cops that I know, law enforcement I know across the country, nobody condones what happened. To me, I'm not going to say it was racial or personal, whatever. I think it was probably more personal than racial since they knew each other, so it had to be some sort of history there. But it was way out of line, 100% out of line. And it wouldn't have happened here because we would have stopped it. You know what I mean? As our group would have, you know, stopped him from staying on top of this guy and things getting to where they're in. I mean, I understand. Trust me. I'm born and raised in Philadelphia. I'm a Mount Airy guy. Standing and running road, man, for my entire life. I went to every school in the city. King, Central, Community, Temple, Westchester. So you can't say that I don't know or I'm not, you know, from
right.
the area.
But And here's the other thing, not to cut you off, E. In that, I don't know if it's that exact department, that precinct in Minneapolis, but they are already obviously dealing with issues with relations between the police officers and their
yes.
community. It's only been, what, a little over 2 years that the Fernando Castillo thing happened where he was shot in the car. So
right.
this just a couple of years ago, they had other incidents that they have yet to really recover from.
Right, right. Well, I understand that completely. And, you know, listen, if it wasn't for protesters and you know, things back in the 60s, I wouldn't be in a position where I am right now. You know what I mean? wouldn't live the lifestyle I am right now. So I appreciate that. Love that. It's the other side. It's the anarchists. It's Antifa and everybody else who are like that, who come to our city and cause the problems that they're causing. They come here and they get everybody riled up, and then the looting starts and the burning. And that's completely 100% unacceptable. It's not the peaceful protest. It's the violence that bothers me.
Yep. I mean, yeah.
And the fact to sit there and watch this, my city, born and raised here, Eagles fan from the day, you know, first game I watched with my dad, who just actually recently passed from COVID. But
sorry to hear that.
That's a tough one. Just to watch them destroy the city, and it bugged me. So as a member of the department, I'm not speaking for the department because I can't. I'm not, obviously, you know, one of the spokesperson. But, you know, I feel, me personally, and a group of my guys, who feel like we failed. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't protect the people who are supposed to be protected. We didn't protect the businessmen. We didn't protect their businesses. And we just sat there and watched things burn. And that's not good. What really bugged the heck out of me, and I'm trying to keep together while I'm talking to you, is I watched these people come into our city and destroy our city, and we allowed it. You know?
Yeah. It felt wrong. It did. It felt like you guys were just kind of waiting until the following morning to where you could say, all right, now go home.
Well, here, let me ask you this, though, E.
Talk to me, man.
And this is an honest question. I don't know the right answer. I'm just wondering if the police officers, I don't know if they had appeared to be the aggressors or they get in the way of this. Does it get worse? Does it help? I'm just asking because I don't know, right? Because there are some cities where police officers – really almost they almost incited this themselves with the way they were handling the protesters.
Right.
And that wasn't the case necessarily with Philadelphia, at least from what I saw this weekend.
Well, like I said, I've been around, I've been special units, I've handled protesters before. You know, you give them a voice, you give them a lane, you let them march, you let them walk, you let them talk and all that. Mm-hmm. But we never let it get to the point where you start destroying property, and it was like a snowball effect where, once again, I wasn't in the talk, you know, the mm-hmm. command center, but it seemed like you were hesitant. I know, because we look like we're heavy-handed, you know what I mean, trying to stop everybody, then it's going to be a problem. So you let it snowball, and then it snowballed out of control to the point where it didn't make a difference if you couldn't stop it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You couldn't. It got to that point. It just kept rolling and rolling and rolling, and there was nothing you can do. And to a man and woman that I spoke to, and that are under my command and the whole, it's heartbreaking. You know what I mean? It is. It's heartbreaking.
E, thank you. Thank you for the work that you do. And, you know, thank you for calling.
Yep.
We appreciate it. As we were just looking up on the TV, and
I do believe the police officers are caught in a difficult spot there.
Of course.
Right? Like.
Yeah, I mean, they're just, I mean, for the most part, everything that I've seen in Philadelphia, they're just kind of standing there
right,
without doing anything.
And you got people yelling at the TV like, why are they just letting them do this? And it's like, okay, were they instructed
yes.
to be that way?
Yes. And I just got to say, the mayor of this city, you look at the mayor of Atlanta and just what a natural leader that she is. Very, very impressive. And you look at how Mayor Kenney's handled this, and it couldn't be any different. I mean, he just lacks any type of, I don't know, man. He doesn't do much for me at all. He was kind of hiding and he came out. And listen, there's what I've seen is you see the really good leaders during this time. You see the people that jump out there. They do. You notice them, and you notice the people that really don't. Let's go to Myron. Myron, are you in Kansas City, man?
Hey, good night. Hey, how you guys doing?
Myron, how are
What's
you?
What's up, Myron?
Ike, it's been a minute, bro. Like I said, but we used to talk a lot, me, you, and Bo Wolf. So, yeah, me and you go way back like car seats, bro. we talked for a while. And I think that we have kind of the same perspective. I'm 51 years old, born in Princeton, New Jersey, and lived on 32 Clay Street. If anybody is familiar with that, that is the projects of Princeton, New Jersey. It was in 1974. It still is today. But now I live in a suburb of Kansas City. Me and my wife have six children, ranging from 26 all the way down to 6.
Wow.
That's what I said. Four girls, two boys. Our oldest is 26. Now, I agree with the last couple of officers that you had. I was in law enforcement. I worked as a cop for 10 years prior to me becoming an engineer. But the one fact that they left out, and this was late 80s, early 90s when I was still in law enforcement. When we came out of the academy, we weren't allowed to go into the suburban area of at work the district. We had to do the roughest of the rough in the city, and our white officers, they got to do both. So the brutality and the systematic racism was set even back then. They got to use excessive force, and they wouldn't allow us to even have that opportunity. Even though that's not what we wanted to do, they didn't want to leave it to chance. Mm-hmm. So the position was already put into place that, yeah, you can go abuse your own people if you had to, but you better not touch any of the suburban house moms or whatever the case may be. And it's difficult, very difficult even to have been a cop back then. I'm glad I don't have to do that now. But to add perspective, like me and my wife both have outstanding careers. She is a outstanding physician and surgeon. Mm-hmm. Babies that are coming to this world every day, she delivers. She makes sure they're okay. They have heart problems. She handles it. She's fantastic. Why do I have to worry about at 51 years of age when I leave to go to work at night that this might be my last night on earth? Why does she have to worry about being in a nice vehicle, going to work, and because she has a stethoscope around her neck, what is it, a gun hanging from her neck, and they're going to put two on her chest? Why do I need to lose my beautiful black Nigerian wife because of whatever? Because she's dark skinned and pretty and have mm-hmm. long hair. We have to teach our children, and I know the other gentleman, he doesn't have to worry about this as much because, well, me and Ike, we do. Even, you know, and where we live, we are known, well, putting it for lack of a better term, we're known as those uppity.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Thank you, Myron. Appreciate it. Sorry, we're up against it.
I know what you're saying. And, yeah, it used to be the thought was, well, if you're in the wrong place, in the wrong area.
Wrong place, wrong time.
Wrong time, yeah. No, that is not the case anymore. Like, you can be a law-abiding citizen, again, on a regular traffic stop, and if you get the wrong cop that pulls you over on the wrong night, it can be another one of these situations.
Life.
Yeah, it just could be. It just could be. So it's not as if – and that's why, you know, as I get older, it's like, dude, if I'm in the house by 9 o'clock, I'm good, man. Like, I don't need to be outside at certain times. I had to train myself to think that way, right? To think that way, right? And so
– younger people aren't like that.
Yeah, you're right.
They want to be
and
out.
Young people just aren't like that, man. And you know, it's unfortunate, but I've been around long enough to have to adapt. And I made mistakes too when I was younger.
Of course.
Yeah, I made mistakes when I was younger, but you get older, you're like, dude, let me get home to my family. That's all I want to do.
So the bed.
Yeah, let me get home to my sofa so I can spoon with Sparty. You know what I mean? That man only got a few things
I'm spooning
in life.
With Sparty yeah. nightly.
Ben Franklin Bridge is closed. If anybody's out there driving, Ben Franklin Bridge closed. It looks like they cleared all the people off of 676, but there was.
Do I need to plan to swim across the Delaware River to get back to Jersey? Or will I be okay? I'm leaving.
You just might want to host with Joe Giglio tonight.
Am I be here with Joe for 4 hours?
And not bring up Carson Wentz?
This is not the time for that.
Also, the tear gas that we talked about earlier, that was actually fired at the 676, the Vine Street Expressway crowd, because we saw a bunch of that later on. But they're getting prepared as we're 20 minutes away from another curfew.
And yeah, I was going to say, yeah, it's supposed to be a curfew at 6?
Don't look like that's going to happen at 6, based on what I'm seeing in the streets. All right, we'll come back. Phone calls for the rest of the show, everybody. 215-592-9494. It's Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. Twitter question today, or would have been brought to you by Marks Jewelers. Marks and Forever Mark want to thank our brave nurses. Go to marksjewelers.squarespace.com. Nominate a nurse to win jewelry from the Marks, from Marks Jewelers and Forever Mark. You know, we were just back in the Xfinity X1 Lounge as Joe Giglio is getting ready for his show tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I saw him put out a tweet about the baseball proposal that's out there, which is, and I think he's right. He said more or less, based on where the owners are coming in and where the players are coming in, the players want more games. The owners have countered that with a 50 game. So they're going to meet in the middle at 82, and the players are going to have to end up taking some percentage off of their regular salary. That's how I think it ends up working out.
Yeah.
So we'll see if the players are willing to do it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you hope they can come to some type of an agreement. I think as fans, we don't care who wins. Like, it's not money in my pocket. I don't necessarily care. But if both sides can agree on something and get out there and play, I think everybody will be happy with that.
Yeah, because this week was supposed to be this is the half a week, right? Like, they said 2.5 weeks, and it's been 2 weeks.
Yeah, it feels like this is the
they need to get a set this week.
Right, like they came out with the proposal a couple of weeks ago, they countered, and now it's time to compromise.
I still don't feel confident.
Oh, I think it's happening.
Okay.
Are you locking it up, Jack?
I'm locking it in.
All right, there you go. Bob Nightingale and Jack, very confident that the...
You see the sand?
It is more sturdy this week.
Oh, yeah. And John Morosi. So the experts in baseball.
Right, they got
Morosi,
it covered.
Morosi, Nightingale, and Fritz.
Not only do I connect with the players on the field, I also... connect with them off the field.
There yeah. you go.
Atta guy.
There you go.
All right, let's go to the phones. We have we got Aaron in Marinari. Hey, buddy. How are you?
What's up, fellas?
What's up?
What's up? What's going on? To you, Mark, right quick. That the DM you got, the individual who I said white people are killed more by the cops. So here's the thing, though. What's the percentage? Because there are more whites than there are blacks in America.
So I looked it up. 86% of the country is white. So, of course, okay. There'd be more whites that are killed than blacks.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. What were the percentages? And then dig deeper.
Right.
Was that guy armed? Was that guy attacking? Was that guy attacking the police? Because I did some digging. And a lot that our people are referring to, police were being attacked.
Right.
So tell the whole story. But no, that's irrelevant. Right. But this is the thing. I'm not, looting isn't my thing. That's not my thing. I don't believe in damaging property. I don't believe in stealing things. That's not my thing. That's just me morally. That's not my thing. And I'm not going to condemn people who does that, because we know there's going to be opportunistic people
mm-hmm.
in any situation. But we can't concentrate on that. We cannot concentrate on that, because this is a long time coming. Now, I'm speaking from someone. I have never had a bad interaction with cops, and I have a heavy foot. And my car is always heavily tinted. And I never had a bad interaction with the cops. I had some WTF moments with the cops, but I never had a bad interaction with the cops.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what I look like. And I'm not an intimidating-looking guy.
Right.
So, you approach me, I'm not really intimidating, besides the color of my skin to some people, but I'm not an intimidating-looking guy. I can only imagine if my car is heavily tinted and I look like Ike Reese, what type of response I would get from a police officer. Mm-hmm. In the areas I have lived in, the areas I have friends in, stuff like that. But I just hate that we're being insulted when the coroner wants to say, well, it's underlying issues. Well, listen, black people, because of how we were raised, how we eat, and the lack of medical care we receive, we almost all have some type of underlying issues. But here's the thing, though. If I'm driving my car recklessly and I strike someone and they die subsequently from the injuries, what am I getting charged with? So let's say he has some just for S and give it. I think I know what S means.
Mm-hmm.
He has some type of underlying issues, but your actions led to his death.
It
doesn't mean he was ready to die that day because of those health issues. That doesn't excuse what we witnessed on video.
Yeah, because I mean,
that's just an excuse or a.
To downplay it.
It's an out clause
yeah.
to not charge him with a different crime.
First degree capital
murder.
That's
going to cause him to be punished with more time. This is sort of a way, okay, we can let him off on manslaughter.
It's only manslaughter, right?
Yes.
I watch enough of the cop shows to know that if you were – let's say that you rob a store with somebody else, and whoever you're with shoots and kills the clerk, you get capital murder. Mm-hmm. you get first degree murder because you're there in commission of the crime, right? Yeah. You're there. So just because you didn't fire it, even if you, and it happens with a lot of people, you don't realize what you're getting yourself into. Then you're there, you're part of the robbery, and bang, you go down for first degree murder. Mm-hmm. So why would somebody that's there, like, you understand why they'd be charged with that? Like, for this, it's like, oh, well, he didn't mean to do it, right. But his actions killed him.
Right. What do you mean he didn't mean to do it?
It's unbelievable.
He's a trained police officer.
Normally, the text line brought to you by the Casino Delaware Park. The Casino Delaware Park is open with limited hours for slot machine gaming only. Visit DelawarePark.com for details. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery, must be 21 to play. A couple other sports notes here. Earlier, we mentioned that Josine Anderson was let go by ESPN. Jason Whitlock out at FS1.
Whoa!
That again, according to Andrew Marchard of the New York Post. So he's out.
Huh?
Yes.
Wow.
I guess they couldn't agree to a new contract, so he's out. Probably making a lot of money and wants some more.
Well, now, he's the show. Well, at least he thought he was the show.
Well, here's the thing. He's already burned bridges at ESPN. It's not like he can.
Oh, sure.
I mean, they may take him back, well, but.
Not if he left the other place for money. He ain't going to go get more money at the other at ESPN.
Mm.
Wow.
Well, there you go.
Boy, it is. It's a dark Monday.
But they've been, I mean, the way they've been spreading the money out at FS1, I guess they just decided, like, hey, we can't give everybody millions and millions and millions of dollars.
I'm actually surprised at that one. Not surprised at this Josina Anderson one, but I'm surprised at the Whitlock one.
Yeah, because he's a total D, and he doesn't mind being that guy, right? Like, he will.
Well, he speaks his mind.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, you need guys like that.
Well, the show is called Speak for Yourself.
But here's the thing. What? I think he's a real pain in the ass behind the scenes.
Of course he is.
To where they don't like him.
Yes. That's what happened. You know that's what happened. That's what happened. Of course that's what happened. Of course it was.
Let's go to Mark in Somerton. Mark's a retired police officer. Mark, how are you?
Gentlemen, how are you today?
What's up, brother?
What's up, Mark?
So I think I have a unique perspective in all of this. Although I'm a white man and a retired law enforcement officer, I grew up in the poor section of Frankfurt. I grew up two blocks from the Whitehall Project. Half my friends were white and black growing up. So I was a part of getting tossed around, chased by cops, stuff like that.
Right.
I, too, to this day, even with a badge in my pocket still, I get nervous when I get pulled over. That's why when I went into law enforcement, I want to go in there and make sure no matter anybody I arrested, anybody I interacted with, they came out of there in a situation where if I had to call on them one day in the future as maybe a character witness, it would work. And it was simple. I treated everybody as if it was my son or daughter being arrested by another cop. Mm. It didn't matter if it was a simple arrest, no problems, or if we had a knuckle-down brawl, which happens, afterwards, it didn't matter. I never took any of it personally. No matter what you said, no matter what you did, I mean, there was times where we fought with people, and on the way to the hospital, we're all laughing about it. I think that's one thing any officer, young or old, in any position today, if you just treat everyone like they're a person, doesn't matter what color they are, man, woman, doesn't matter. Listen to their story. I have so many stories of people and what they've gone through and why they were in the backseat of my car. Like, why? And we were a fugitive unit. We locked up thousands and thousands of people.
So what's your reaction to what happened in Minnesota?
It was disgusting. It was outrageous. And I knew. As soon as I seen it, I said, here we go. You know? And I could tell you, that cop, just looking at the video, that cop just – there's cops, unfortunately, just think when they put that uniform on, they're the king. They're the man.
Yep.
That's how he was nailed on top of him. I'm the authority. You're not. Right?
Yeah. And it was just, oh, my God. Now, I can't – and I'm not defending this. I'll give cops the benefit of the doubt because I know – in some arrests that we've made, if you only caught the back end of it, it would be like, ooh, that's tough. Right. But if you saw the full picture, you kind of understand what led to that. Here, no, not in a million years. And it's a cop like him who's arrogant. I'm the man. I'm wearing this uniform. You do as I say. I want your respect. I'm not going to earn it. And that's one thing when we were in a unit, we were a small unit, 70-some people. We never had any racial complaints. We never had any. Unfortunately, we have one person killed. But it was because we went out and we treated people. I mean, I can tell you stories of people we have arrested, took them out, their kids crying. We went back. All, you know, our team will go back with toys from, you know, our kids and just give it back. You know, right. Give it to the family.
Hey, Mark, we really appreciate the words, man. We're up against it.
I know that ain't happened in my house.
No?
No.
You didn't get a new...
growing up, no. Hell no.
You get toys delivered? There you go. It's a new game.
After they made arrest? No.
Coming up next is Giulio. Everybody, listen, be safe out there.
Yes.
Be safe, and we'll talk to everybody tomorrow at 2 o'clock. And Ike... Be careful getting home. I don't know how you're going to get home.
Well,
we got a helicopter on the roof that we can use. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, I'm coming to your house tonight, John.
All right. Well, good luck, because I don't know how the hell I'm getting out of here tonight. Marks and Reese, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Everybody be safe. See you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.